high drop from Jackie Elka.
Goal! Oh, what a goal! What a goal! Unbelievable finish to the Merseyside Derby!
Welcome to the Toffee Blues, your source for all things Everton, and welcome to another podcast where we're going to be getting through loads of content in the run-up to the return of Premier League football after the international break. We're going to be looking ahead to the Manchester City game. We're going to be travelling to the Etihad on Sunday in a game which will probably be a bit of a baptism of fire for us Everton supporters. But we'll be looking ahead to that, myself and Owen Parks. And then after that, we'll be having a little discussion on transfers, Everton affairs in general, a little bit of, you know, few little discussions, little talk on all things football, really, and that'll be coming up after the match preview. So stay tuned for that later on in the podcast, and we'll get straight into it with that match preview. And welcome to the match preview for Manchester City versus Everton. Everton going into a game against Premier League champions, again, title challenges, of course, and we go into this one, of course, on the back of, oh, I think it's about five or six games now without a win, so not the ideal way to go into this game by any stretch of the imagination. I'm joined by Owen. Owen, how are you feeling going into this one?
It's probably the biggest write-off of the season, to be honest, because Man City are so good in terms of everything. I think that there's a lot made about the technical ability, but they work so hard as well. So a group of 11 players who work so hard for the team, as well as the ability to guard it, it's a bit of a thankless task, isn't it? It's not like Man United, where there are loads of good players, but there's not a sort of cohesive way of playing or anything. Man City are just really good, so I'm not too confident for this one. I think we're going to have a lot of luck and hope they're not quite on to get anything from the game.
I mean, it's not beyond the realms of possibility. I mean, Crystal Palace went there a few weeks back on 1-2-0.
Yeah, I suppose. They've always done well there, really.
Man City. Someone said in on social media, Crystal Palace went and did that, but it's just not in Everton's nature to go and do that.
Well, we did last season a lot, but it doesn't seem likely at the moment, does it?
No, it really doesn't. I mean, in terms of the injuries, there's rumours, you know, Decore might be back for this one. Calvert-Lewin, not yet. That seems like it's looking more less and less likely.
I think you're more likely going to see Decore at Brentford next week than you are against Man City. That'll be a bit of an unfair one to throw him in, I think. I think we need to pack the midfield out, because if we go with a two in there, I think we're going to get overrun really quickly and really easily. Because I can't think of any team who would play two in midfield against Man City. And have lived to tell the tale, to be honest. So I think we're going to have to have three really hard working midfielders and then almost drop off in a 4-5-1.
Yeah, I think that'll almost certainly be the case, but it's going to be difficult to find that three, because we mentioned Decore, but Tom Davis is injured as well now, isn't he?
Yeah, I think you're probably more likely going to see Delph, Alan, and maybe, like it has been the case lately, maybe Andros Townsend will slot in there as a third one. So, because he works hard, so it isn't beyond the realms, and he can carry the ball forward. I think you might see that.
Maybe, but again, it's a case of, you know, we just can't seem to get the luck in terms of the injuries. You know, every time a player comes back, someone else seems to get injured.
Yeah, it does seem like that. I think if we're going to get anything from the game, we're going to have to produce a really, really solid performance, particularly defensively, because they're so good at carving teams open, and they're off the ball movements. They are a fantastic team. And someone said the other day, what's the best in the team performance I've ever seen against Everton? And I think that one a couple of years ago when Man City came, and I think they were 3-0 up in about 10, 15 minutes. I think we did 1-3-1 in the end, but the way they controlled the game, the movement, the chances they created, it was just scary how much better than us they were. It was about 3 or 4 years ago.
It was Allardyce was in charge.
Yeah, Big Sam was in charge. We didn't even do an awful lot wrong that day. I think we got a goal from Bolasie, and it weren't like we were terrible. It was just they were ridiculously good. I think Pep said at the end of that season, I think for that first half, that was the most complete they'd been all season. It would be against everything, you would get that, wouldn't you? But no, I think they're really good, but we're going to have to be. It's going to have to be a bit of a swing and a prayer, to be honest, if we're going to get anything on Sunday.
You can say that again. I think it's going to be a pretty chastening experience watching Everton play against, until Carlo anyway, Everton against anyone in the top six is usually pretty chastening.
But even with Carlo last season, we tried just about everything against Man City, and I think the two home games, the one in the cup in particular, but the one in the league as well, we got them to about 75 minutes and it was a draw. And I think Mina was one off the line and they nicked at the end. So we did give them a good account of ourselves last season without actually getting anything concrete. But the last time we played them, it was the end of last season. We just had to throw everything at it, see if we could win to get into Europe, and they ended up smacking us 5-0. So even when they're off, they're just off on the beach, they can still put 5 or 6 past you.
Yeah, I think that's one of them. I mean, I think we were, if they were on the beach, I think we were in Atlanta coaching, I think, in that game.
We shouldn't have been, because we're the one we could have gone into Europe, but yeah, it is what it is. I think it was the end of the season and everyone, it was no fans in the ground for the last time, and I think the whole league just had a collective of sod this off.
Yeah,
it was just one of them.
But you know, I think obviously this one at the Etihad, I mean, if it was a Goodison, you never know what might happen, but I don't see much going our way in this one, not to mention the referees. And you know, the Spurs game, our last game, was a good indicator of how the referees aren't always giving us the line and share of decisions.
I'm sick of talking about referees, so I'll just wait until after the game to see. Who's our referee, do we know?
Stuart Atwell.
Oh, okay, there
and
we go.
And our best mate, Cavan, is now on VAR.
Do they just, like, swap positions on all our games every week? Because it seems one's doing one and one's doing the other.
It reminds me of the way Putin and Medvedev just, like, swap Prime Minister and President bold every 4 years just to, like, make it, to, like, get round the rules of, like, outlasting out terms.
I'm not going to get into all that because I have no idea where it will land me. But in terms of what we can do, I think what could, it's very, very sort of a very thin look, what way of looking at it in terms of could we, but Rafa Benitez has got a history, let's just say, of pulling off big results against the odds, against teams much better than. All that being said, I've not seen much evidence and much organisation or evidence so far. But that being said, other clubs, he has been able to drag these performances out and these results. And we're going to need a couple in these next couple of weeks because we've got one hellish set of fixtures.
You can see we've got a hellish set of fixtures. All right, I think, like you say, we've got Brentford next. And
apart from Brentford, it's all a tough one.
Apart from Brentford, I don't even fancy that, mate. I'm not being funny.
I've watched them recently. Not up to much.
The Bees a couple of decent. They got a draw against Liverpool, didn't they?
Yeah, but they've been beat to like Norwich and some other teams. Newcastle, I think they play this weekend. So if they get beat against Newcastle, you're looking and think it's no winning 5 or something like that. But so by that logic, we should be able to go there and win.
That's
but
when Everton become very charitable in those occasions.
Oh yeah, we love it. We love it, don't we? But seriously, we've got to start finding, because we've got so many difficult games, we've got to find a formula and a system that gets us results.
And win ugly. It's simple as that, I think.
Win. Got to pick up points however we can get them. And if that's by booting it to the opposition corner flag when Man City give us the ball back for some reason. So it's tough because we've got to find a way. And if we don't find a way, we're going to be in a relegation battle by the end of Christmas. By January, we're looking at a relegation battle if we don't find a way, because we've got so many difficult games that the losses will pile up. I don't know. Did someone say we'd won one in eight or something like that?
Yeah, I think it's one win in like eight or nine now, yeah.
Well, if you have a look at the games we got, that could be one win in like 15 by the time we're finished.
Yeah, that is serious relegation form.
Exactly. So we've got to find something, a system. I don't care if it's eight at the back. It's just, it's got to, it needs must. Because yes, we can't afford to be in the bottom end of the league.
Yeah, I think I always say that. I think Benitez is the one to sort that out. But we say that.
I'm not
but
much evidence of it. Like.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was just going to say, mate. I think if you just asked me at the start of the season, said if you'd been in a pickle like this, I thought Benitez would be ideal to sort that out, but he hasn't sorted it out yet. And you know, we played the lesser sides in the league mainly.
He did keep a clean sheet against Tottenham last time out, so to be fair to him. But he didn't even look like the Harry Kane was literally sitting on a deck chair for the whole of the game. So it weren't like they were throwing much up in terms of opposition where they Tottenham. They were just looking to get out of it themselves to get to the international break to give Conte some time to work on stuff. But so I don't know. Wolves could have had 5 wins was that first half.
Yeah, I think the issue
Watford put 5 past us, that's worrying.
Yeah, I think to be honest, I think the reason we got so lucky last time out against Spurs, like someone noted, Spurs aren't notorious for the set pieces.
No, they're not.
That's where I think, you know, City, you know, they're probably all right enough that you could exploit it. It's when you're playing the likes of, you know, we've got Palace coming up and teams like that.
They're
not
big
sure.
Teams, aren't they?
Big sides, good at set pieces there, where we're going
Brexit to fall. As well.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Brentford will score a set piece against us, I'm saying.
Oh, definitely, yeah. No, that's what I mean. I think Benitez is going to get himself the sack from zonal marking alone. That will be the sword he falls on. I stand by that.
If it was just the set piece defending, I would say it'd frustrate me, like, but it'd be something like, I think if he fixes this, it'll be all okay. But my issue is our transition defending. It's really bad when teams break on us. We're all over the place and trying to recover the ball or get back to stop them from creating a chance. We just run all. When teams lose the ball, they get back. And Benitez is big on this about being compact and not being able to get play through. And you've got a default setting that you're more wide when you've got the ball and so to stretch teams out. But when you lose the ball, you get back together, make it difficult. We don't do that. We do, but then we get overrun in midfield and we've got Alan one side of the pitch and no other midfield, and then there's just loads of spaces for the opposition to exploit when we're defending counter-attacks, and that's a real big problem. And Tottenham didn't really do anything last time, but in other games, we've looked all over the place when teams have been hitting us on the break. When West Ham, we did all right. The last one I can remember, and it was just a set piece. But in other games, we've just looked all over the place. And I think if he doesn't sort it, he will be out of a job by January.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. I mean,
there's no if we don't win any of these tough games, and we just pick up a few draws and lose the rest, and it's one win in 15, no one can survive it.
No, I don't think anyone does. And when you can realise that one win is actually against the bottom team as well.
Norwich, yeah.
No, you can include being knocked out of the League Cup by a Championship team as well.
QPR battered us.
I think that's it. Therein lies, you know, the results have been terrible, and it really isn't good enough. I think he's got to work out, like you say, a strategy. Normally, I trust him to be a strategic manager. He's got a track record of it, but I've not
I'm not writing him off because he does have a track record of pulling things out the bag. He did in Newcastle at times, but I don't know. I've just not seen any evidence of it. There's one get Brighton away. We were very solid that game. There seemed to be like a good desire to defend that game. We've done all right in some game. Norwich, I mean, they weren't going to score in 1,000 years in Tottenham, but in other games, teams, even when we've won games, teams could have had a couple before we even got into it. So, like Southampton, there was a spell after they scored in the first game where they could, if they'd have really put the foot in the throat, they could have been 2 or 3 up in that game.
But Burnley as well.
Yeah, Ben Mee scores. I think before that, they could have had, Chris Wood had a chance, and Leeds, Rafinha scores, but they had to come on to shore it up in the end.
Yeah, they peppered us. I remember that game. They peppered us. I mean, we did well as well, but. Like, but it was still
game,
very open.
It could have gone the other way.
Yeah, it was
like the Villa game, because the Villa game was sort of 50-50. They scored the first one, they win a 3-0. All of our games have pretty much been like that.
Same as the Watford one. I mean, we were the better team, but or at least it was, you know, in the balance.
It was even, I think.
It was pretty in the balance, but, you know, you go to 2-2 and you end up losing 5-2.
Exactly. I'd much rather in them situations, even if we got to 2-2 and Benitez seeing that we're running on empty and we haven't got nothing to give, and Rondon is like hobbling about up front and we've got nothing on the bench, I'd rather him just shut up shop and say we'll get our 2-2, we'll get a point, it's an extra point, you kind of did that against Tottenham last time, but I do caveat that, but I also caveat it by Tottenham literally did not for a thing going forward the whole game. And
we don't really look much of a threat ourselves at the moment going forward.
Okay, we look like blunt, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, been a little bit better, I think, since Richarlison come back. But
yeah, he's much better than Rondon, isn't he? So it's natural. But I had people telling me today he should be doing more. Not really sure what Richarlison should be doing when he's stuck up there on his own.
Yeah, he should do more, like what, go and become the physio and get Calvert-Lewin back a month earlier. That might help.
Yeah, it's interesting.
But the only thing Richarlison could do that he isn't doing already.
He won the game pretty much against Watford. The fact that we were so unorganised at the back that we lost it. He came on, we went 2-1 up.
That's it, yeah. I mean, it's painful to think, like, the way we've performed of late, it's just been nowhere near good enough.
And what's even worse now, in the last couple of games, apart from Iwobi's obligatory goal against Wolves, they haven't looked like scoring.
Yeah, it's like, it's really toothless.
We haven't even got the set piece goals we had that bailed us out.
Exactly. I think he needs to find tactics that succeed. And if not, like you say, I think he could like be sacked by the new year if he's not careful.
I'm not being all doom and gloom. I just think with the run we've had and what's to come, it could be a real bloodbath. And
yeah, I mean,
I did see this coming at the start of the season, like, so it doesn't surprise me in one bit, but whatever.
I don't know what I was expecting. I mean, I was expecting a poor league position, but I wasn't expecting it to be this way, if you know what I mean. I was expecting us to sort of plod along, be probably quite a dour team.
I wish we were, because at least we'd be picking up some results.
Exactly, yeah. I thought it wouldn't be too different to last season towards the end. No. When we were riding out ugly nil-nils and...
Yeah, it was something. Put it this way, I didn't expect us, like, last season to be fourth in March and to end, well, the way we ended the season was really disappointing in the end, but it was at least a season where we had the possibility of getting into Europe. We could, if we'd have kept a few more players fit. That's another thing. Benitez is the only manager, apparently, that's ever had injuries. I know there's been a lot, but we had them last season as well. We still got a significant points total in the end compared to what I think we'll end up with this season. So
I think it's not so much.
Silver had injuries as well, didn't he? So.
Silver had the worst luck with injuries, but to be fair, yeah, I think Benitez for me is probably the next worst after Silver for bad luck. I mean, all the players who've got long injuries are all our best players.
Perhaps, yeah, agree.
Corey for starts, I think Corey is the most important player in our team. Calvert-Lewin probably the next most important. Gone. Mina as well, you know.
Yeah, there's a bit of that, but and to be honest, I can't really forgive Silva's bad luck because he had 100 million in every window he had at the club to make his own luck. Benitez has had a bit over £1 million, so maybe I'm being a bit harsh on him, but I don't know. I think the amount of money Silva had compared to, I know Carlos spent a bit, but it wasn't as much as Silva and Benitez. Even as Sam Allardyce got given 50 million in January, I mean, kind of the world do we live? I don't. See, this is what I mean. I mean, by all means, back them in that January with a few loans and that. But to spend 50 million quid, which you know will come back to bite you in a few years, for what, to finish eighth when we were already eighth when we had them players? Didn't have them? Madness. I just don't understand. There was a survey going around by the Premier League today asking you about your football club. To what extent do you think Everton are a well-run club? I strongly disagree.
Vehemently disagree.
It's mental. I've been on one today with Brands and Benitez and the board. I think they're all pretty poor at what they do.
Have you got your ticket for the virtual AGM?
No, they're normally quite a closed off event anyway with only shareholders, and so we never get to see them. But it's even more exclusive this year, isn't it? But
imagine buying your shares in the club to have to sit on Zoom.
Oh, you'd be fuming, told what you? To ask. You'd be fuming, wouldn't you? There's a lot of questions that have to be asked about every single person in a management role or everything.
Absolutely. First and foremost, just the amount of bad decisions include making AGMs virtual only.
I know. That should be the first question. Why aren't we here?
Yeah, I mean, that'd be an interesting way to kick matters off, to be fair.
You could have a field day with them ultimately, but all that you do have to put to one side for the moment. Just have to just somehow get results. And I just don't know where they're coming from.
Yeah, I don't. In terms of, I think we can talk about City all day in terms of what threat they pose.
I mean, they do the wrong thing, but they're so good at what they do.
Yeah.
They are pretty unique still in the Premier League for how they are and they aren't. I think a lot of there's a lot of pound shop peps as you go down the league, but nothing beats the real thing. He's unbelievable. Making the team win and play well.
I feel like there's plenty of pound shop peps at this level.
Oh, everyone's a pound shop pep these days, I think. Self-proclaimed best manager in League One, Ian Ebbett. Got knocked out by 5-3 last night by Stockport. Claims to be a Guardiola disciple. So
my lasting memories of Ian Ebbett in Holloway's Blackpool team was literally Ebbett, the right-footed centre-half, storming down the left wing and putting across it.
What a mental team that was.
That was insane, that.
He did all right, considering, as well.
To be fair, I do miss Blackpool. I thought they were an all right team. It was actually quite fun to watch, I'm not going to lie, but I couldn't have lived with that. It's literally Everton getting beat 5-2 off Watford every week. That would have been what he's been going through.
I couldn't watch it, but Ian Holloway, he doesn't fancy himself as a master tactician, does he? So I think that's why I kind of like him.
I think it was literally just get everyone forward and try and get a goal. I think that's
but he didn't take himself too seriously, and that's why I didn't mind him.
Oh, I thought he was class Holloway. He's
all right. Yeah. He's a bit of a wally the way he talked about the EU and that on Sky programmes and all that. So he's a bit of a wally, but he kind of is what he is. I have no idea how we've started talking about Blackpool's Premier League adventures under Ian Holloway, but it's the kind of thing you do when you preview a Man City game, because
It's the kind of thing you try and switch your mind to literally anything other than the upcoming game and the upcoming probably the ration that's going to be dished out.
Well, we should, what we should do is watch that Ian Holloway Blackpool team and just do the opposite, because they would have been beat 12-0 on Sunday.
God forbid if like Holloway was still around to be up against
Pep.
Oh,
wow. God, he would take some smashings, wouldn't he? He'd probably give them out. Oh, the teams aren't exactly... They were a hungry team, weren't they? So, yeah.
I mean,
he would laugh.
I mean, give me Gary Taylor Fletcher over Rondon any day.
Wow. Ian Everton over Rondon.
Ian Everton, so.
Yeah, so... No, I guess Pep is brilliant. I think Man City, they're still quite unique, as I've said, in terms of being so good and getting the results to match. And if we can somehow shut them down, then it'll be very much a point gained.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think anything, like I say, to stop the rot, you know, basically try not to have repeat performances of Wolves or Watford. I think any of that'll be nice.
If I ever write a memoir when I'm 80 about my experiences or everything, that Watford game's coming into it, because I've never seen anything quite like that before in my life.
Yeah, it was like, it's vintage levels of embarrassment to me. And I remember as a 9-year-old, I think, watching a Stelios Giannakopoulos scored a hat-trick for Bolton. Look, that's going to be the beat us like 4-0.
West Brom did us 4-5-1 one year.
I was at that one as well.
Yeah, they had some cracking set pieces though that day, to be fair. We battered them and they won 4-1. So
Gabriel Tamás scored, I think. And he was the one who played for Bucharest. He played for Bucharest and when Big Dunk elbowed him.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we're going very much down memory lane here.
I'm literally doing anything to deflect from the fact that we're up against like an absolute juggernaut of a team and we're an absolute circus.
Do you know, if we were playing Man City, we were in good form and we had a nice little run in, you'd think we'll give it a go, see what happens. But one win in eight and what we've got coming up, if that Brentford game is so huge.
Yeah, I think, to be honest, if it was like, I'd be like, oh, we'll probably get beat, but I'm not really bothered because we've won a couple of games. It's a bit of a free hit.
It's that kind of thing, isn't it? But a lot of teams have that kind of mentality to City away, where it's like, we'll just win before and after. And if we get a 5-0 beat, then it's so what?
Yeah. You're half tempted to put the reserves on.
That one was a game away in Man City. Had two games, and he put it... complete reserve team out for the Wednesday game because they had a big game on. I think it was Neil Warnock, a man at Cardiff.
Cardiff or something, yeah.
Yeah, he had like, I don't know, the under-23s playing because they had like Brighton away on the Saturday. It was just vintage Warnock.
That is Warnock answers to no one.
Yeah.
That's class, that. But yeah, well...
Because he still had it in for Liverpool because they put like a reserve team out 10 years before.
To send Sheffield United down.
And so we did the same to them 10 years later.
Oh, yeah, he put a weakened team out, Benitez, didn't he, against Fulham?
Yeah. Yeah. And it ultimately meant Sheffield United went down. So up until 10 years later, whatever it was, he put out a weakened team for Cardiff against Man City in the week because it would affect Liverpool's title challenge. It was just
that is like worn off pettiness, that, isn't it? That's finest. Yeah.
You can tell he's been waiting to do that for 10 years. Yeah.
You were beating for the ball to be in his court. And like,
yeah.
Like, he's taken that to his grave if that never happens.
I think they only got 2-0 as well.
Good play, you know, the Warnock effect.
Yeah. And I think he won the Brighton game on the Saturday, so he's won in many instances there.
Very much vindicated. I mean, you know, if he says it does go in January, Warnock in. Who says no?
He just left Borough. So we'll just do ties to get our 3 points.
To be fair, that'll probably be like 90% of Goodson if he were in his shoes. Oh, well, on that note, we'll wrap up this prediction before our minds go wandering any further. Yeah, we'll finish with our predictions. What do you think's going to occur on the weekend, though?
I think we're going to batter them.
Ian Everett's going to strike one from centre-half with a crossing.
Ian Holloway and Neil Warnock, the goal scorers.
Yeah, Ian Everett's going to strive forward from centre-half and put it on a plea for Marlon Abels.
Charlie Adam.
Oh, God.
If we keep it 0-0 as long as possible, we might go down the other end and score. So I think we'll lose our 1-0. I think we'll put in a performance, but ultimately we won't have enough.
I'll go for... Yeah, let's just go with me. I think it's going to be a repeat of last season, 5-0.
That's what I really think.
I'm just speaking with my head. Like I've said on the air before, like, Everton have broke my heart that much. I can't really speak from the heart anymore. I'll speak with my head when it comes to Everton.
Agreed.
Yeah, so there you go, guys. Loads of optimism. I mean... I was just the Blackpool talk. I mean, as far as Everton are concerned, it wasn't the most optimistic show, but there you have it. That's how it generally is. Like,
to actually talk about the game.
Oh yeah, that'd be great. But you know, needs must when you're looking for some form of optimism going into, you know, like I say, a game at the Premier League champions when you're in the worst run of form we've seen at Everton for quite a while.
If people want, we can just scrap these off and just do a week-by-week review of Ian Holloway's Blackpool. So, how did he do in this?
Or Warnock's Cardiff. Better still.
Or Warnock's Cardiff.
If you guys tune into the podcast, of course, it's just myself and Owen, so no quiz this week. But what it does mean is that we just get to have a little bit of a discussion on a few topics, all things Everton, really, in the last week or so, of course. I think today, of course, Jordan Pickford has been linked with a move to Tottenham. Apparently, Antonio Conte is really keen on that. But, you know, that's just the media speaking. But there's been a lot of, like, discussion about would he make the move and if the opportunity arose. But, Owen, what's your take on Pickford to Spurs? Is that a thing?
If they pay, someone said 50 million to me today. So they pay, someone paid 50 million, I'll get the car ready and I'll drive them down there myself. If someone's prepared going
50? 50?
Yeah, 50 million for a goalie.
Kepa went for 70. I'd push for about 70 myself.
Would you? For Pickford?
England's number one.
Yeah, I guess.
Should have won goalkeeper of the tournament at the last Euros. And if Kepa Arrizabalaga's worth 72, then he is.
Yeah, of course, but that was just woeful decision making. I think you can get Edouard Mendy for 15 million in this market. So is Pickford better than Mendy?
No. No, of course he's not.
So it's, I don't know, it's one of them. I would like him to stay, and it's not like I've got a vendetta against him because I think he's a good goalie, but if people are offering big money like that for him and we could get a different goalie for a lot cheaper, then I'd probably consider it because it would sort our financial situation out somewhat and we might be able to spend a bit of money if we manage to get big money for someone who's quite replaceable considering there's a lot of solid goalkeepers about.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. He'd be a lot easier to sell for big money and replace than it would be to replace a Charlton or a Decorey.
Exactly. So that's why I would be quite open for that because I think, I don't know, it's easy to say we don't want to sell any of our best players, but
we need
all the best teams or even any team that's been relatively successful on any level sells the best players and reinvests. It's life in the Premier League for most clubs. So, I don't know. For me, I don't want to sell them, but I think out of everyone who's been kind of, I don't know.
Anyone who's basically remotely sellable.
I think he wouldn't be a bad shout if we're getting that kind of money for him.
I mean, if that doesn't, of course, work out, there's always the possibility of Calvert-Lewin to Arsenal, isn't there?
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, that's obviously some Arsenal fans that convinced us a thing, even though I'm not even sure if the media have touted that one.
I don't know where that's come from, to be honest, because I've not seen it literally anywhere.
Come from the Arsenal Twitter underworld where everyone's convinced Calvert-Lewin's grew up in, like, I don't know, Calvert-Lewin's grew up with, like, posters of Henry on his wall and supported literally the same thing they say about any young English player.
Interesting. They have spent 150 million in the summer. They don't really recoup a lot back, so I'm not sure where they're going to get Calvert-Lewin from, money from next summer, but that's for them to work out. Plus, why would he want to go to a team that's finished eighth twice when we finished a little under them, when he could possibly get a better move to a team in the Champions League? Nonsense. But yeah, on Pickford, I like Pickford. I think he's a decent goalie, but if you're getting big money for him, you've got to have a look at it.
Definitely. I mean, like you say, I think at this stage, we've got to learn that to be well-run, we've got to start selling and reinvesting wisely and having a proper strategy. And I think that's where a lot of people, having looked around on social media today when this rumour was thrown around, a lot of people are not against selling him. They're just worried about what our recruitment team would serve up in terms of a recruitment.
That's fair enough. I can't disagree with that. I mean, there's good, solid goalies out there who could do a job as such, but would Everton pick them out, or would they just, I don't know, go for someone who's not really whatever
they need? Or something, probably.
Yeah, you know, someone like that. So it's an interesting one. I wouldn't want to sell them, but if that's what it's got to take for some investment, then I'll drive him down there myself, and that's nothing against Pickford. I just think for a decent goalie, if we get big money, then I'm all ears.
Oh, definitely. And with that in mind, if we were to reinvest it wisely, who would you consider? You know, we've just said to Zubravka and that, who like we wouldn't have, but who would you go for?
Someone was speaking to someone today, and having had a look, I would agree. Strakoshka from Lazio, he's on a free in the summer. He's a really good goalie, 6'2", 6'3".
Yeah, good
with his feet. I think he's a decent goalie. If we could get him for nothing, he's still only 26, then I think that would work out good business for Everton. But
that doesn't sound like Everton business, though, does it, at all?
Will Everton get? Probably, I don't know. Bring Manuel Almunia out of retirement or something, so...
It was Blackpool's goalkeeper in 2011.
Matt Gilks.
Yep, let's get him then. O'Neill Etheridge.
Yeah. Alex Smithies. That's what you're looking at, though, isn't it? But I don't know. Ideally, we would keep Jordan Pickford because he's a decent goalie, but I'm not sure we're in a position to negotiate these things.
No, I think we've got to be more strategic, though. I think Pickford, is like you say, is probably the most sellable asset that is also sellable for us. It's like we could maybe afford to lose him.
That's what I think.
Which is, I definitely agree with that. Again, though, I think I have the same sentiments as the majority of the fan base, where I'm just sceptical of the recruitment team's ability. And I think I've obviously been very scarred by the way we replaced or failed to replace Romelu Lukaku.
Yeah.
And, you know, John Stones as well, probably. You know, those types of players who we haven't really...
Yeah.
Players of that calibre back ever since, even like, or brought in players a level below who had the potential to reach that level again.
No, I completely agree, but I don't know. I think if Everton are to ever be decent, one of our big players will have to be sold so we can invest it, because we can't just go from summer to summer spending a few million here and there. The tires open from now on, because we don't have that luxury.
No, I mean, it all depends, doesn't it, on like what's happening behind the scenes. Is the club any closer to getting a grip in terms of recruitment? I mean, this summer would suggest maybe yes. The players we brought in have been a bit better and more suitable, you know, better bang for our buck. But
yeah, I mean, if Everton had to get into Europe or be a team that regularly gets in Europe, would any team who qualifies for Europe have signed any of the players we signed?
Maybe Gray, but that's about it.
Yeah, but Leicester sold him for literally pennies to go to Germany. He never played there, and they were Leverkusen. And Leicester are two teams in Europe.
Yeah, it's true, but I think he's definitely been one of our better players, but I think that's more of maybe a damning indignation of the rest of the team more than anything else.
Yeah, that's how I would look at it, because
that we've signed a player who maybe isn't the level that we needed, but he certainly come in and made more of an impact than the majority of our current squad from last season.
No, I agree. I think he's an upgrade, but I still don't think he's
an upgrade on Iwobi.
Yeah, he's an upgrade on Iwobi. He's not. I wouldn't consider him as someone who, if we're going to be regularly in Europe, he's going to be a regular starter. That's my opinion anyway. I think he's decent, but I don't think he's so. If someone said to me, if Everton are going to be in Europe, Would you consider Damari Gray starting every week to be a part of that? I would say no.
No, of course not. I think he'd have a place in the squad. I think he'd be a decent bench player. But
to come off the bench for 20 minutes to go, half an hour, change the game maybe. And I think he's done all right so far. I'm having a go at him. I just don't think he's at the required level for Everton to go up the league, but he's done well, so it's not having to go at him. I think it's more of a situation that we need to start recruiting players who are similar age and value to Gray, but someone plays with a bit of a higher ceiling who's a bit more consistent, because he's still a bit wasteful in front of goal. If you saw that Gay Villa game, if he scores that chance, we go 1-0 up, don't we? So it's just things like that I think he could possibly improve on.
Yeah, and to be fair, like, I think there are players out there that we could be looking at. Like, they're just not in the obvious places. That, you know, it's not the Premier League. You can't be looking in the Premier League or even the Bundesliga, like the more obvious league. You've got to be a bit cleverer.
Like Moyes, when Moyes at West Ham, he's managed to pull a few players from Sparta Prague, and they've all fitted into his team and the system in the exact way he wants them to. He's very good at spotting a player that fits into what he does. It doesn't matter, really, if they're a household name or not.
I mean, in those kind of roles, sometimes you just need honest grafters.
Yeah, and I think he does work hard, Craig, so maybe he's a step in the right direction. But
I would think it's definitely a step in the right direction, but I think we need another 11 of those.
Yeah, I think we need... I think that's the kind of base level of play we have to start looking at going forward. I do agree. I just think a step above that, in my opinion, would be where I think we should be going. People think I'm dead against Damari Gray now, and I'm not completely. I just think that I still don't think it's ideal for where we want to be, but he's done well.
Yeah, I think he has done well, and I think he'll continue to do well if we brought in like more players of that ilk, players with a bit more hunger to succeed. Some of these players haven't got that. That's obvious to see.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the whole hunger to succeed also comes from the strategy within the club. I think we can talk till the cows come home about the strategy of the hierarchy and, you know, the mistakes and the laziness.
Here's a question for you then. Who would you trust more going forward to choose to build Everton's team in terms of recruitment, Brands or Benitez?
Really good question. I'm not sure how much I trust either of them, to be honest with you. I'll be honest, I'd probably go with Marcel Brands.
Okay.
But not the Marcel Brands who's been given a seat on an Everton board. The Marcel Brands before he got a seat on the Everton board, who, you know, I think probably had more to prove. And the Marcel Brands from PSV, who has a, you know, like you said there, a selling club strategy, the ability to bring in players with high ceilings, improve them, sell them, carry it on.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be like Marco Silva type football where it's a bit open and you can still build a team that's rigid and, you know, aggressive and, you know, ugly, hard to beat. You can bring those type players in and still be building that.
West Ham have done it. There's loads of examples of this all across Europe of counter-attacking teams. And teams who are maybe defend a bit deeper still recruiting well. And not just blowing every penny they've got on 30-year-olds. So I still think, but for my answer, I wouldn't trust either of them. I wouldn't trust Marcel Brands to run a bath. And Benitez is an egomaniac who wouldn't have any within 5 miles of Trippinch Farm if I had my way. But it's out of the two, I think Benitez's track record stands.
He's a bit stronger, yeah.
But I was just asking because it's certainly a question. It's a talking point.
It's a very good question, to be honest.
I don't think the Percy eye to eye is my point.
I don't see either, but I don't see eye to eye with either of them. Like the same as you, I think.
Ideally, we would have a full reboot, but isn't it not easy?
I'm saying I think I've said to a few people now. I've said to people in my work, and I've said to people. I think I said it in our group chat as well. Like, I think Everton, we as fans could probably go and form our own version of like AFC Wimbledon, come up to the 12 leagues in the pyramid and probably, you know, win a trophy before the current Everton could do that. And I think that's the thing. We've got a better chance of, you know, I think that we've probably got a better chance because, like, you know, like you say, you've got so much rot inside the club, the amount of bad personnel who are like running it badly. You know, you can't sack everyone and meet at the same time.
No, but certainly.
That's right.
Yeah, so it's, I don't know. Maybe it'd be in a bit harsh, maybe, but I just think I'm just not really convinced with by anyone in any kind of decision-making power ever.
Yeah, agreed. So yeah, we best get down to that AGM as soon as we can and like make our voices heard.
Get our digital tickets, yeah.
Oh god.
I was kind of keeping my head together when Carlo was there because I trusted him to be the adult in the room and to sort of cut through the nonsense and know the agendas and pick out what would bring Everton greater results on the pitch.
I'm inclined to believe that he was as well. I think one of the main reasons why he walked. I know there was Madrid, obviously, but
there's a lot of conjecture about that. But he was, and that's why I was kind of calm. And that the one window we had when Brands and Ancelotti were working together, managed to get in James, who when he was on the pitch and we knew the business was very good. We had Decore, he's improved us massively. Godfrey was great last season. Allen's been at least decent. Even Olsen, our backup goalie, was better than the backup goalie we've got now. So our recruitment after that, there was a bit of a strategy for the short term and the longer term last summer. Obviously, spending's hampered us this summer, so I can't really blame anyone. But my point is, I don't think either of them get on eye to eye, and so it's a question of whose judgment would you trust?
Yeah, neither.
Yeah, but we've got to sort of trust someone, haven't you? So I think Benitez will probably end up getting his own way, but me sort of my trust is in neither, so I'm not.
It depends whoever can be the most frugal for the benefit of Everton, really.
Yeah.
I think both of them are notoriously quite frugal, but...
They're notoriously both quite stubborn as well, so it's...
Yeah.
The Dutch are well known for being quite aloof and stubborn, and Benitez could start an argument in an empty room with an owner, so it's... It's interesting.
It's one of them, like you say, the Dutch have got a track record, so we can imagine brands will be taking Benitez's locker away from them too.
I think you can just, they don't speak to, they just give each other glares, don't they, when they're walking past each other.
I just imagine that, like that gif everyone remembers of like brands just walking down the tunnel in a suit.
I think if both had the way, neither, well, if Benitez had his way, Brands wouldn't be there. And if Brands had his way, Benitez wouldn't be there. So it's such a healthy combination.
Tells you just everything you want to know about, like how well run we are, you know, on a scale of like that poll.
No one likes
well
run or ever.
Love it. On that note, when's Ian Everett being announced as the new manager?
Well, self-proclaimed best manager in League One, Ian, isn't he? So he shares all the confidence of Ian Holloway.
You know, I wonder where it must just be people called Ian.
Ian Dowie, what's he up to?
Exactly, yeah. Whatever players have we had called Ian in the past? Well, Ian Marshall, let's get him in.
Yeah.
With his big mullet.
I can't think of any off the top of my head.
Oh no.
One minute, I'll get some.
Let's find some.
Ian Snowden,
of course, one of the club ambassadors. Let's get him in.
Yeah.
Ian Turner, there we go.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking of, Ian Turner, yeah. I was thinking of a goalie.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Just get anyone in called Ian. They're obviously very confident managers.
Yeah, they've got the sort of ego and the self-confidence, let's just say, to manage a club like Everton. Just get all the Ians in.
Just get all the Ians in and get the centre-backs overlapping past nobody.
Yeah.
Leaving a big
gap at the back. Get Tim Sherwood in as motivational speaker, considering he's so opinionated on everything.
That's the best idea I've heard, actually. Why don't we just get the whole cast of TalkSport on and get them to be the coaching staff?
Yeah, you know, that means Big Sam gets his return.
Big Sam comes in, you know. You got Gabby Agbonlahor.
Oh, Simon Jordan, chairman.
Simon Jordan is the chairman. He's off the
business by February.
Jamie O'Hara.
Oh, God. He was another Barclays icon 2010 player.
Yeah, he's from that either. So was Agbonlahor.
Jamie O'Hara had more loans than I don't know what, honestly.
More loans than the TSB.
I'm telling you, every year Spurs used to just send it. He was a Spurs 15 years, played 10 games with them because he was always on loan.
But it was one of them. I mean, you know, there's another one, Harry Redknapp.
Oh, Christ. Does ever just have a go and do what you want, manager? It's him, isn't it? He said once he didn't believe in tactics.
I mean, to be fair, I remember Roberto Martinez sitting on Sky Sports with a cup of cappuccino and just being like, I wouldn't dream of practicing set pieces.
Did he actually ever say that? Because I can't actually believe for a minute a professional football manager would come out with such nonsense.
He didn't. He said it in a roundabout way. He said, like, I prefer to focus on open play or something.
Yeah, he is an absolute clown, the man. And I just don't know. He keeps getting linked to these really good jobs in the Premier League, and I'm wondering what planet.
Surprised Newcastle didn't go for him over Eddie Howe.
God, it's tomato, tomato, isn't it? You're getting the same thing with either, aren't you? So no point splitting hairs about it, is it?
Yeah, it was an interesting one, obviously, but Martinez has saw some belt of football under him, but Some of it was awful.
Didn't enjoy the majority of it, let's just put it nicely.
Yeah, it was pretty shambolic. I mean,
we'll move on.
We'll move on. We'll leave it at that anyway. Thanks for tuning into the podcast, guys. Hope you've enjoyed our little discussions. Our love of all things Blackpool 2011.
It's just been thinking out loud, haven't we, is what I would like to call it.
Yeah, I mean, Ed Sheeran wrote that song after watching Blackpool play.
Probably.
There you go. Thanks for tuning in, guys, and we'll see you next time.